Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Thank you for being here today, Swami. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. And how about yourself?
I'm doing pretty great today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about International Day of Happiness. Listen as we break down happiness into varying degrees of enjoyment. Not all happiness is equal. There is a difference based on the laws of attraction. What we are attracted to will determine our nature and our fate. There is a distinction between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. So join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the benefits of eternal happiness. So Swami, well, let's get started and let's talk about it. I was on the International Day of Happiness website, and there's a couple of quotes I got. I want to talk about one of them. And the first one I found that I really like is, "The pursuit of happiness is serious business." What do you think about that?
Well, that doesn't make me too happy.
Almost sounds like work, doesn't
it? Not happy about that. No, I agree with that 100%, that happiness isn't an accident. It's something that we create. It's like Abraham Lincoln said, a person is about as happy as they make up their mind to be. And making up your mind or controlling your mind is serious business. But it will make you happy.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It seems like I don't think people understand that they really can create that within themselves. We don't need to go looking for it. We don't need to move somewhere to get it or change a job to get it. But it's all dependent on us and our perception.
Yeah, and what I like to do is I like to do the breakdown. And happiness is a feeling that is always associated with a symbol. And it's going to be gratification of a desire. We can't have a feeling without a thing, a thought, or this conscious connection to the void. That there's always going to be association. And that is all conditioning. We train ourselves. We, for the most part, we can actually condition ourselves to pretty much like anything.
Well, we can condition ourselves to like anything, but that's different from having a sense of happiness about something.
Well, yeah. And then the other thing I like to do is I look in the thesaurus and you put in happiness and you get a bunch of other words: contentment, pleasure, gladness, cheerfulness, joy, glee, bliss, delight, exhilaration, and ecstasy. And it kind of makes you wonder that maybe happiness is a little bit more complicated than just singing a song kind of a thing. And so just like anything, if you start out with something and you start to break it down, you start to open it up, you start to see that it's complicated. And happiness is complicated. And especially the way that we look at it. Because just like we said in the opening, there is a difference between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and eternal happiness. And it's all going to be dependent upon what it is that we identify with? What is it that we relate to? What is it that we desire?
Well, if we come into this world, and we come into this world as babies, and we're supposed to be this perfect expression of spirit, you would think we would come into this world already being happy, or having that in our DNA, if you will. And another quote I got from the International Day of Happiness website is, happiness is your birthright. So it leads you to believe that we are born with this capability, and it's up to us to choose if that's the route that we go.
Yeah, but you have to be careful, because remember, when you're born as an infant child at its mother's bosom is the definition of happiness. Now, the problem is that you are using something that is visible and tangible for validation, that you have now established that relationship, that association, that as long as I have what it is that I think I need, then I'm happy. But there should be this whole evolution of an individual, because we need to separate from mother. We need to separate from this pattern that we're born with. Happiness is not the indicator that I'm growing psychologically and spiritually. There's a conversion that has to take place, that we actually have to rebirth our bodies in a different energy field. And you have to be careful which one you choose, because you can fall right back into the world, or you can fall into the realms of mind or thought or energy, which is invisible, but it's also tangible. And it will give you a certain return, because if you're attracted to things visible and tangible, you will experience worldly happiness. And it is an expression of the word. And if you separate from your attachment to things visible and tangible, but you attach to things invisible but tangible, then you will experience what we call intellectual happiness. Now, these forms of happiness are relatively limited, because you're drawing from a resource of energy that is dualistic. It's only going to get you so far. So it becomes this insatiable craving that we have, that we're constantly trying to gratify this desire. And it's kind of loaded, because even when you get what you think you want, there's this underlying dynamic of anxiety, of fear of losing what it is that you have, that you're using to make you happy. And so it becomes, like I said, it's a psychological sand trap. And if we're just using happy as the barometer, it can keep you stuck in these limited resources. But if you can figure it out and then start to use this invisible, intangible resource as the symbol that you equate with this peak experience feeling, then happiness will start to grow for you. You will experience what we call eternal happiness. This feeling is different than the happiness we knew when we were little infants at mother's bosom.
Well, what's interesting is, and I get this description from Wynn Calendar when they describe this as a holiday to celebrate, and it says, the International Day of Happiness seeks to celebrate and promote world happiness as a fundamental human goal. Well, I thought that was interesting, because don't we say in Kriya Yoga that really our goal, whether we're conscious of it or not, is to become a whole person? Now, does happiness have a role in us becoming a whole person?
Oh, absolutely. And again, it comes down to, what is it that I'm using that I associate with this feeling that I'm happy? Because if you unbox what you were saying about the whole thing of world happiness, again, worldly happiness, and also the concept of what we call peace on earth. And I really go back to the Chinese proverb, when there's light in the soul, there's beauty in the person. When there's beauty in the person, there's harmony in the home. When there's harmony in the home, there's honor in the nation. And when there's honor in the nation, there's peace in the world. And to me, that's a lot different than just gratification of personal desires.
Yeah, interesting. So we have to actually make a conscious, not decision, but a conscious, we have to make sure that we can determine where it is that we're getting our happiness from. I think that's what you're trying to say, right? Like, am I happy because I get to have pea soup for lunch? Am I happy because I bought a new pair of jeans and they fit, you know, the way I like? Or, you know, so we're using something in our external worlds to make us happy. And that you're saying is we want to try to recognize that and try to make this connection to another form of happiness.
Yeah, or even to try and understand that there are varying degrees of happiness of the same word. And the whole thing of that there is a difference between when we are from the level of unconscious awareness. And I think, you know, for me, the words like contentment, pleasure, gladness are associated with this worldly happiness. And when a human being is more at your original state of consciousness, that you're basically in the larvae state. And then words like cheerfulness, joy, glee, delight are more associated with the intellectual happiness. This is more for me when the human being is in the chrysalis phase of development, where we are experiencing self-conscious awareness. And then, of course, there's also a difference of the words like bliss, exhilaration, ecstasy, because they're associated with the experience of this eternal happiness, that this is the experience of the human in the adult state, and they have accessed this superconscious awareness that we talk about, this concept of total consciousness in Kriya Yoga.
So it really is all of a matter of what you're saying is that it depends on where we are consciously, and that has a great bearing as to our level of happiness?
Yeah, and our level of consciousness or our degree of awareness. But again, it's all going to be dependent upon what energy system, what resource am I attracted to?
Well, I think this is probably a great time to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll return in a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website www.ipdtransform.com for more information.
And welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I have one more quote that I got from Wynne Callender, and this one is from Mahatma Gandhi. And he says, happiness is when you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. And that reminds me very much of a saying that you have as well, when you talk about purity. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, in Kriya Yoga, purity is your ability to think, feel, say, and do one and the same thing. And I would agree that that is harmony. But I don't necessarily know how it would bring happiness, though I do think having that sense of conviction has a certain sense of harmony to it anyway.
I guess I was thinking when I read that was, if you think one thing and you say another and do something different, then maybe somewhere when we realize that disconnect, maybe that could possibly bring about maybe some feelings of guilt or shame or something like that. And then therefore, if we have those kinds of feelings, then we are obviously not in a state of happiness.
Yeah, and probably what Gandhi's talking about is a genuine state of happiness, or this state of eternal happiness where everything is in harmony with this desire for nothing, with this connection to this resource of energy that is unchanging. And the internal support, the calmness, the confidence, and the clarity that comes with that, the joy that one feels that you are connected to something, it's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, it's not going anywhere. And to me, that's the essence of true happiness. But again, it's like anything else, that we try and oversimplify things sometimes to the point, it's kind of like the Eskimos have 70 plus words for snow. Or if you throw out a word like the nervous system, and then you start to try and figure out that the nervous system itself, you know, there's aspects of it. There's voluntary, involuntary. You've got your central nervous system. You've got the peripheral nervous system. And then your peripheral nervous system expands out into the somatic nervous system, the autonomic nervous system. And again, it gets complicated. And so, you know, the word happy, kind of like when we did the show on love, these are all encompassing words that mean anything to anybody, but you really are going to be limited to your experience of what this word means. And again, when you put it in the context of what's my level of consciousness, what's my degree of awareness? And when I think of Mahatma Gandhi, I always think of a human in the adult state. So, of course, his experience of the word happy would definitely ring true to thinking and saying and doing one and the same thing.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And I agree with you. Those two words, love and happy, are also two words I think that may not be used sometimes in a correct context, because I think we overuse these words. And I keep thinking about these movies, and this one movie in particular where the character in the movie says to the other character, well, what do you got to be so happy about? You know, and I just think that that's so telling, because, you know, for somebody to say that to somebody else would lead you to believe that, A, this guy who said it has no idea remotely what the word happiness or happy means. And then to be upset that somebody else could possibly be happy, you know, is another whole dynamic to the whole thing. So it's very interesting, I think, to be happy, you know, and what does it take to be happy?
Yeah, and again, I think that's what we were talking about, that it's a lot of it for us, it's conditioning. That old expression, one person's food is another person's poison. That some people like tripe. That, you know, that it's conditioning. It's what the association between a symbol and a feeling. And that's what we started to say in the beginning, that you can't have a feeling without a thought or a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or on a very high octave of consciousness, a connection to this void or this nothing, to the life force, which is the ultimate source of happiness.
So how can somebody practice to be happy? I mean, if we can train ourselves to do anything, how do we practice to be happy?
Well, I think one of the best things to do is to constantly rehearse scenes in the hidden studio of your mind. You figure out what is it that, first of all, makes me happy. And then now you've captured the feeling. Then what you want to start to do is assign it to other symbols, which is what we do typically. I mean, what we call normal behavior, unfortunately, in this time, I call neurotic, because we basically go from the car to the phone to the computer to the television to the refrigerator to the gym. And it is all driven by this need that I want something, that we're constantly searching for that symbol. And when you read scripture, you read things that are rooted in wisdom, there's really only one truth. There's only one religion. There's only one God. There's only one yoga. There's only one truth that, and on a very fundamental level, it comes down to what is the thing that is most important to my existence? What is the thing that I can live the least amount of time without? And that's going to come down to your number one need. And so if you are accustomed to practicing using what you really do need as a symbol that produces the feeling that I'm happy, then you're moving in a positive direction. But remember, we come in with a pattern that we look for food, we look for mother, we look for approval. We don't come in with the programming that we're looking for the life force. And that was the thing that the communities that come under the heading of religions were supposed to do for us. That's what the word religion means, to relink, to reconnect us to a more reliable resource. And that got all convoluted and distorted. And so then we started to substitute this intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality, for eternal happiness.
I want to continue to break down that the saying from Mahatma Gandhi, where, you know, what you think, what you say, and what you do, if they're all in harmony, brings you happiness. I want to break down that what you say. Now, you and I have been talking about words recently, and saying the right words, and maybe words to avoid in our daily conversations that we have with people, as well as when we're writing out emails or letters. There are certain words that maybe we could possibly avoid. And if we can do that, if we can speak and write without using certain words, and I guess I'm talking about more like negative words, like not, unfortunately, anything like that might have this negative connotation. If we can eliminate and replace those words with other words or phrases to get our points across, do you think that would assist us in helping us change how we think? So should it come really from what we say first? I mean, would that help us if we learn to speak differently, use different words?
Well, I definitely agree that it would help. I don't know if it would be the end-all, be-all. Mm-hmm. That one of the things that isn't mentioned in this particular phrase that you have said is how we feel. And feeling is a big part of this association, because feeling is what gives a particular thought a certain degree of power. And then when thoughts and feelings start to mix, we wind up with what's called beliefs. And these are the things that are really important when you are trying to create your reality, when you're trying to affect changes in your life. This whole thing of belief is an important thing, because thought, and like you were saying, just changing positive thoughts. But if you take a positive thought and you put it on a negative belief, it doesn't go anywhere. So a lot of it is creating that harmony between how we think and how we feel and how what we're saying and what we're doing. And again, to do all of that with the power of positive thinking and the power of sacred words, I think you do have a better chance of generating this experience of true happiness.
Yes, I can't help but think that if we can train ourselves to be more aware of what it is that we are saying, and if we can catch ourselves saying a negative word or a negative phrase or something that might be construed that way, then that kind of forces us to think that, well, there had to have been a thought behind my using that particular word, or because something had to have been behind it to be able to something to come out of the mouth to verbalize something. So I guess I was thinking is, if we are made aware of it, if I say a word and I'm aware of that I said a word that I could have used a different word or a phrase that was more positive, then I start training my mind to look for those thoughts that could be behind it. So I guess in a way I'm trying to reverse engineer my awareness of how I think based on what I say.
Right. And that all comes down to your level of consciousness. If you are accustomed to being on automatic, and that's one of the biggest problems I think today, is that we are mentally lazy, that we don't have the conscious mind engaged, that we're not regulating our responses with our mental functions. We're not using perception, reason, memory, intuition on a regular basis. We're on automatic. We're using a lot of the conditioned responses that are already recorded. And so this concept of being mindful comes into place, mm-hmm. where all of a sudden your conscious mind now is engaged. And you are now thinking before you're saying. And that, of course, becomes optimal with regard to your performance.
Right, yeah. Well, that makes sense that you need everything to fall into place.
Right, but it's not even something that it's going to fall into place. You make it happen. You make it happen, mm-hmm. by being intelligent, by developing your psychological organs, developing endurance, so that you don't fall back into unconscious patterns and conditioned responses, that you are mindful.
Makes sense, right? Makes perfect sense. Well, I think we're going to have to stop our program right there. It's about time to close down our show. So listeners, I'd like to invite you to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once there, please post comments and questions about this show or give us ideas for future shows you'd like Swami to consider. But be sure to tune in next week. I believe we've got to celebrate a new moon next week. So, Swami, do you have any other thoughts that you would like to impart about today's show?
Well, I would wish everybody health and happiness. And next week we will talk about the new moon in Aries, which will bring us bravery. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And I want to thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.